This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The kickoff is a squib kick handled by the Toppers, so they're going to start off on offense first, and they'll scrimmage from their own 38-yard line. Dan Newkirk alongside here, Gary Boker here, and we're both ready for some cool, crisp autumn air, correct, Dan?
Yeah, it's just a beautiful night here in Gillespie. There's flags blowing a little bit from our right to left, the direction that Hillsborough is going, but it's just a lovely night to play football.
So the Toppers are going to start out in that triple I that is so familiar for them. They'll give the ball off. No, it'll be a fake. Take it for the quarterback as he's going to go deep looking for the wide receiver, Caden Lemon, overthrown just a wee bit. On the coverage there was Dominic Taylor, and kind of a surprise opening to the game, Dan.
It really was. Last week we saw Caden Lemon run the ball 25, 26 times in the game, and they were trying to get the ball in his hands, but it was on that long pass play. It'll be interesting to see if he goes back to his tailback position where he was very comfortable last week.
Hillsborough is going from right to left as we look down on the field. They're heading south. Pretty good breeze coming out of the north-northwest, so plenty of air under that ball. In fact, a little bit too much. This time they'll go back and do the tailback as they'll go off the left side, coming up with maybe 3 or 4 yards out over the 40 to about the 41. Let's give him a gain of, say, 3, and brings up a 3rd and 7.
Hillsborough lined up in their traditional triple I. They do have one split out. That is, who do we have split? That's Caden Pruitt. Caden Pruitt is split out for, Keaton Pruitt split out for the Toppers.
He's over on the far side. That's why we have trouble seeing that number. So it's going to come up 3rd and 7. They're going to go to the air again. They got the big tight end coming down deep, but can't find him as he finally throws the ball at a late toss. Going to be a good catch there as making the play was number 24. For the Toppers, and that's Colton Kaiser, who made the catch at about the 48. And they're going to say that's enough for a first down for the Toppers.
There was a little bit of controversy on this Gillespie sideline. The coaches thought maybe he caught that out of bounds, but they got the benefit of the doubt, and it's 1st and 10 Toppers.
And so up near midfield, it'll now be Toppers ball 1st and 10. Once again, as we said, the tailback is Caden Lemon. Instead, they're going to give it to the upback this time, Jonah Harkins. Harkins going to go off the right side and just keep on churning. He's going to get down inside the 45-yard line before he's finally going to be brought down over there. Dominic Makopet comes up with the tackle with a gain of 9, 2nd and 1.
Jonah starting right where he left off last week. If you remember, Gary, in the second half, Jonah Harkins kind of put the team on his back there for a couple of series and really had a lot of success running the ball right up the middle.
2nd and less than 1, so the Toppers can do whatever they'd like here. And what they'd like to do is to go to Lemon. Lemon's going to find the yardage difficult. Foley Safari is in there on the tackle right at the 40-yard line. Needed one, picked up 2. It'll be 1st and 10 for the Toppers.
Caden Lemon, for his 5'7", 140-pound stature, has an uncanny way of one, making people miss, and then two, when there is contact, he always falls forward for that extra yard. And I think that was the difference in getting the first down on that play.
Wide receiver out, and they'll give the ball again to the second back, and that's Jonah Harkins. Harkins going to get down inside the 40 to about the 30, maybe the 38, and that's going to be about it. If he gains 2, that will be generous, bringing up a 2nd and 8.
It looked like we had Thomas Johnson, a 6-foot, 180-pound linebacker, on the tackle for that play. No, actually, he's lined up at defensive end. Came down the line and made that tackle on Harkins.
Hillsborough decked out in their white tops, the black pants. Gillespie has the black tops and the orange pants. Lemon's going to try to turn the corner coming wide. He's going to be met by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Gillespie miners. The last one coming up off that pile is Frank Barrett. And Barrett's a little bit slow getting up. I'm not sure if he was hurt from the ball carrier or the other four guys that piled on top.
Right. And there was quite a gaggle of miners on that tackle, and it looked like Caden Lemon's head got snapped around. I'm not sure that a face mask wasn't missed on that play.
Ball spotted at the 35, 36-yard line. Going to bring up 3rd and 6. Hillsboro puts a man in motion. They'll run the toss sweep to Lemon as he tries to turn a corner. He'll lose the first tackler, but he's going to be short of the first down in four down territory in all likelihood, as he's brought down over on the far side over there. Looked like Adam Beck in on the stop.
Offensive line, Landon Malloy, Blaine Gunderson, Finn Tisco, Tanner Mullen, and Baron Floyd really doing a nice job of moving that line of scrimmage on the snap of the ball.
Can't see it on the radio, but that's one beautiful sunset over there, isn't it?
Really is. A lot of red and blues and purples in there. Boy, it's pretty.
Picturesque. Part of that, of course, due to the fact that we're in the harvest season and a lot of crops being harvested, a lot of dust in the air makes for a beautiful sunset. As we come up to a fourth and two, Topper's not sure what they want to do, so they'll call a timeout. 8:15 to go here in the first quarter. We're scoreless between the Miners and the Toppers, and you're listening to WSMI. Quarterback will keep it, and diving for the first down is Landon Carroll. Very deceptive fake to that fullback, and he read it well, then turned a corner, gets the ball down inside the 30 to about the 28. And it's another first and 10 for the Toppers. They took the kickoff on their own 38. They have now marched down to the Gillespie 28.
Landon Carroll, really a very prolific runner. Once he pulls that ball, he's a dangerous back.
Greg out here split wide, and he's got Lemon with him, trying to look for him. Now we got flags flying all over the place, and running out of bounds is going to be Landon Carroll. And kind of an awkward way that he slid on the sideline. Let's see what the penalties are. I believe that's going to go against Hillsboro. So the Topper's going to be called for a hold, and that'll bring that one back. And Lemon says, "You mean I ran all the way around the corner? I got pushed out of bounds. I fell awkwardly on the sideline, and it's all going to go for naught. We'll back it up and do it all over again." Now the flag is setting at the 34-yard line. They're going to take the ball out to the Gillespie 44. So that's going to bring up a first and what do you got there? 20, about almost 25, 26?
Almost a Bunnelled for first down.
All right. At least a Wilsonville, huh?
There you go.
In any event, it will be first and long, and this is the first penalty of the game, and it goes against the Toppers and really hurt them as they were driving. As we said, they started from their own 38, had driven down to the 28 of Gillespie. This backs them up to the 44, and now the referee going over to the far side and giving Coach Duff an explanation as why it was so far back. First and a quarter mile for the Toppers, and they'll send two wide receivers left, two wide receivers right. Looking for a receiver. They try to find on the slant end, Jordan Gregg. He slips to the ground. Pass slightly behind him. Going to bring up a second and 26.
Dominic Taylor was covering on that play. It appears with Jordan Gregg being the go-to guy for the Hilltoppers, Dominic Taylor has now been covering him several times. So it looks like that's an assignment that he's drawn for the night. And it's a big assignment. Very big assignment with Jordan Gregg at 6'4", 235.
Now, I'd have to say that during the course of this week, there's evidently been enough moisture on this field. It's a little bit slippery out there for the receivers as they make the cuts. Man in motion will put three wide receivers on this side. They'll be lead blockers for Lemon, who's going to try to turn the corner, go back against the grain. Ball comes loose. Let's see who comes up with it.
Looks like Lemon recovered his own fumble.
He indeed did at the 42-yard line. So, actually, I guess he picked up a couple of yards on it from the 42. That'll bring up a third, still about 24.
It's interesting to see the philosophy for Hillsboro really changing over last week, Gary, where they really attacked the tackle-to-tackle space. Mm-hmm. Today, they're wanting to get more outside with Lemon.
So now Landon Carroll looking. Now he'll pull it down. I thought he wanted to pitch it, but the pitch man was slightly in front of him, so he has to run it himself down to about the 39. Landon's going to pick up a gain of about three as was that Makeupet coming up once again on the stop, as well as Ryan Root for the Miners, and that's going to bring up a fourth and still about 20. 20 yards to go.
up front, Gillespie looking at 5'10", 285, 5'9", 235 inside with Adam Beck also at 6'1", 175. So they've got some beef up front.
Carroll's going to run a little swing pattern out in the flat to Lemon. He'll make the catch, but the yardage is going to be hard to come by after the catch, as there were a couple of miners out there quickly to bring him down. Looked like Billy Gill was out there as well, one of the miners who made the stop. So the Toppers moved the ball from their own 38 down to the 28 of Gillespie. Penalty moved them back, and now on downs, they'll give the ball up to GHS. From their own 37, it'll be miners' ball as Joe Carter will come up under center. His fullback will be Dominic Makapet. He'll give off to his halfback, Frankie Barrett. Barrett with a good job running, and then coming up for the stop was Joey Leip. But as Leip made contact, it was Frankie Barrett who actually forced the action, as he gave him a stiff arm, took him across midfield to the Gillespie, or to the Hillsboro 49.
Very impressive run by Frankie Barrett. Not to mention the blocking that sprung that, but once he got to the outside, he's a very, very tall, athletic-looking running back, long strider, and once he got in the open field, he really was heading downhill.
And that's the way you like, not only a good run, but a good finish to the run, as you said. They'll go back the other way. This time, Dominic Taylor going to get the call. He's going to head around left end, and he'll get the ball down inside the 45-yard line, as coming up on the stop over there for the Toppers, looked like was... Is that number 21 over there?
I believe so. I believe that was, yes, 21. Who had for 21?
Maybe it was 81. It might have been Bertolino.
Could have been Jay Bertolino.
Right. It's good for about five, so let's call it second and five from the Hillsboro 43. They'll run the sweep this way, and again, right there in the midfield section, the ball carrier comes down, and that time it was John Berry, the 5'8", 160-pound sophomore. He slips and falls and goes down on the 44 for a loss of one, going to bring up a third and about six.
You know, Gary, you commented on the dampness of the field. At about 5:30 this morning, I'm sitting on my front porch, and it poured for about 15, 20 minutes. So I don't know what you guys got over in Brighton, but we got a little bit of rain over in this neck of the woods.
We had enough so I didn't have to mow the grass.
There you go. So it could be holding that moisture from that, and it came down pretty hard. So
Miners go into an I formation this time, and now rolling back and nowhere to go. Hit once, hit twice, ball comes free, and the Toppers are going to pick it up as Jude Bertolino comes up with recovery. Joe Carter, just there was nowhere to go, and as he was trying to backpedal, he lost control of the ball as it was pulled free. So on the fumble, ball will go over to Hillsboro. Did I say Bertolino recover that?
Bertolino, yeah. Jay Bertolino recovered the ball. Joey Carter dropped back, and he made a pump fake. And he wanted to get rid of it, and I think perhaps could have saved a lot of trouble if just got rid of the ball there, but hung on and backpedaled and got himself in all kinds of trouble.
So now the Toppers are right back where they were a while ago with a first and 10 from the Gillespie 40. They'll give the ball off on the wing to Lemon, and Lemon's going to head all the way down the right sideline to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and end for the touchdown. What an outstanding run there by Caden Lemon, as he simply scooted around the right end. Once he got to the sideline, a couple of guys had a shot at him, but he eluded them. And Caden Lemon comes up with the first score of the night.
Really, for the first time, Caden had a chance to get out and really show the kind of speed and explosiveness that he is capable of. Once he got to the corner and to the sideline, there was just not a good pursuit angle that was going to have a chance of making that tackle.
This comes at the 4:13 mark of quarter number one, first score of the game. There's where you talk about a turnover coming back to haunt you, and it does there. Toppers are going to go for two. They'll go to Lemon, and Lemon is going to be stopped, I believe, just short of the goal line there. So the two-point conversion is no good. However, with 4:13 to go here in the first quarter, Hillsboro on a one-play 40-yard drive, it was Caden Lemon taking it in for the touchdown. And our score is Hillsboro 6, Gillespie nothing. Back with a Topper kickoff after these messages on WSMI. The last four games in a row, 55-8 last year, 26-0 the year before, 26-12 before then, 49-30 back in 2014. So the Toppers have had the Miners number here in recent years. Over the last 7 years that they played, they have a 5-2 advantage over the Miners. And, of course, the Miners and the Toppers both in a situation where they desperately need a win tonight if they have any idea of trying to be a playoff contender.
Yeah, 1-3, both teams are in almost a must-win situation with the team coming out of this game with a loss having a almost impossible but very uphill battle to get into the playoffs.
And so the kickoff goes to Anthony Cravagna, and Cravagna brings it back into Gillespie territory. And just like that, the Miners, though they're trailing, they are back in business with a first and 10 at the Hillsboro 42.
Gillespie ran a little reverse to Cravagna to this near sideline. It was very quickly developed, but Cravagna got to the edge very quickly.
They'll set a wing on one side, a tight slot on the other side, only one running back in the backfield. Now they'll put man in motion, but they'll give it off to the fullback, Maykopet, and Maykopet does a good job of taking that inside the 40 down to just about the 35. We're going to give him a gain of 7, call it 2nd and 3. Nothing but straight ahead running there by Maykopet.
Well, I'll tell you what, at 5'9", 200 pounds, that's where we're going with Maykopet. He is just a straight-ahead, hard-running fullback in the typical form.
As you said, the 200 pounds, definitely the 5'9". He may be a little bit taller than that, but, boy, I'll tell you what, he packs a wallop. He heads into the middle this time again. However, Jordan Gregg runs into him, wraps him up as he goes across the 35 down to about the 34. Gain maybe 1 or 2. Let's call it 3rd and still about 1 for the Miners, who trail here 6-0.
Baron Floyd made that tackle on the play for the Toppers.
And they will go 3rd and 1. They want to go with two backs in the backfield, so he instructs Taylor to get back there at the right halfback. Now they'll send the wingman in motion, give the ball off to Maykopet. Referee has a flag thrown back here. Maybe that they had early motion. We shall see.
Well, they had a motion man who, it appeared, came forward just a little bit early.
They're going to get him for illegal motion there. Did the other guy get moving too quick as well? In any event, the play is going to go for naught. Instead of it being a 3rd and 1 from the 34, they'll back it up to the 39, and it'll be a 3rd and 6 for the Miners. Well, we saw earlier where Hillsboro had a drive stall because of a penalty. This one doesn't do the Miners any good because it looked like Maykopet had a first down there.
He was going to have the first down yardage for sure. But the play we had some misalignment in the beginning, had a little bit of shuffling around, so there was some confusion from the very beginning for the Miners in that play.
I'll tell you what, when that referee winds that clock, he looks like a fast-pitch softball pitcher there. He wings it. 3rd and long. Going to be a keeper this time for Carter. Carter's going to follow his lead blockers. He'll head to the sideline, try to cut back at the last second, but he's finally going to be wrapped up and brought down over there. Looked like Baron Floyd in on the tackle once again. Going to be short of a first down as they're going to spot the ball at about the 35. So from the 35, it's going to bring up a 4th and about 3, we'll call it. Inside the final 2 minutes of the first quarter we go. 6-0 is the Hillsboro lead, thanks to the Caden Lemon 40-yard touchdown run. A big fourth down play here for the Miners, as they will set Taylor as the right halfback along with Maykopet. the tailback. They'll give the ball to McCulbert. He's going to spin as he hits the line of scrimmage. He's wrapped up by two or three toppers, but I believe he had enough power that he was able to take those defenders forward for the first down. Colton Kaiser was one of them in there on the stop, but he couldn't get in there quickly enough as it'll go first down for the Miners. They'll mark the ball at the 30, let's call it a 32. Needed three, picked up four. First and 10 Miners in topper territory. It's going to be a fake. Now receiver deep. He was open, but being overthrown was Anthony Cravagna. Got behind the secondary. However, the pass was overthrown, and it'll bring up a second and 10.
Well, it's had Joey Leip on coverage on that play, but Cravagna definitely had a step or two on him, and a good pass was going to be a touchdown for the Miners.
You know Joe Carroll right now is kicking himself. He realized there were 6 points there had he just been able to make the connection. John Barry comes in at the slot back over on the left side, and he'll now go in motion. They'll give the ball. No, it'll be another keeper by Carter, and he's going to pick up a tough 1 or 2 yards. That's going to bring up a third, and let's call a third and about eight, as the ball's going to be down on about the, what do they call it, 29? From the 29, it'll be a third down situation. Of course, the Miners, as we're into the final minute of the first quarter, they're in four down territory, trailing here 6-0. They'll send John Barry out as the wide receiver over there. They've got Twins over on the left side. And they'll try to split that defense up and then give the ball to McCopin. And he's going to be wrapped up quickly. Baron Floyd, once again, is in there on that stop. Also in there was Jude Bertolino. And I'll tell you what, running up the middle has gotten all of a sudden very difficult for the Miners.
Really has. And Baron Floyd's been a huge presence tonight for the Toppers defense. He's been in or around, I believe, every tackle that they've had.
Spot that ball right back at the 29-yard line. It's going to be a fourth down when we come back after this Miner timeout. 6-0, Hillsboro with the lead. You're listening to WSMI.
Tomorrow morning, starting at 7:30, is the Spotlight on Sports on 106.1. Live at 9:03 is the Sports Saturday Show on 106.1 also. Cardinal baseball, live at 11:10 with the pregame show, both on 1540 AM and 106.9. Next Friday's broadcast is going to include the Pizza Man pregame show at 6:30, followed by the Auburn at North Mac game live at 7 o'clock, and the late broadcast at 9:30 is Hillsboro at Pena.
And so on a fourth down play, the Miners try the swing pass. It doesn't work. It goes incomplete. Hillsboro now takes over on downs. They'll have a first and 10, and it'll be from their own 29-yard line. So the Toppers, decked out in their white jerseys with the black pants, black numerals, orange trim, they'll now be heading north. They'll give the ball off to the tailback, Lemon, and Lemon's going to find the going very tough there as he's going to be brought down by Billy Gill. With a very short gain, we'll give him one, call it second and 9. Ball resting on the Hillsboro 30-yard line, just underway here in quarter number 2. 6-0 is the Hillsboro lead. They will send Keaton Pruitt out here as a wide receiver. Joey Leip out there as well. Now the quarterback is going to have to pull it down and try to run it himself, and Landon Carroll gets pulled down from behind as he picked up maybe one. Let's call it a third and 8 as he's brought down by Foley Safiri. From the 31-yard line, third and 8 for the Toppers. They'll send two receivers wide to each side. They'll do the little flip pass out here to Lemon. Lemon makes the catch, and I'll tell you what, he knows what to do with it as he catches that little bubble screen, and he'll go all the way out over the 40 to the 42-yard line, It'll be a first and 10 Toppers.
And it's interesting to see as the development and the evolution of Caden Lemon at tailback. Last week we saw him running mostly through the tackles, a little bit offside. Now they're starting to get the ball to him out in space, running some sweeps. Very interesting to see that development.
C.J. Frensko on the tackle last time. This time they'll go similar play, only they'll give it to the big tight end who split out there. That's Greg Jordan Gregg, and he's able to get the ball out to about the 49-yard line. So it's going to be a gain of 7, bring up a second and 3. And I tell you what, he's a ton to bring out there in open field.
He's a big boy, 6'4", 235. When you split him, and he's athletic enough and quick enough that you can split him out and get him into space, he's a load against high school cornerbacks.
Second and short for the Toppers, who once again send two receivers wide to each side. They'll instead hand the ball off, and it looks like that time the ball carrier was Colton Kaiser, and Kaiser gets bumped to the ground right at the 50-yard line.
Frank Barrett what came up and really gave him a pop and knocked him off his feet. Otherwise, I think it would have been a first down for the Toppers.
Not only knocking him off his feet, he probably loosened up some fillings if he had any in there.
And to tighten up that face mask.
Solid hit indeed. Third and short. He'll go back to the air to Lemon. A little bubble screen over on the left side. He scoots down the sideline, gets the ball deeper into Gillespie territory, as they're going to mark this one all the way down at about the 40-yard line of Gillespie. Needed one, picked up 10, first and 10 Toppers.
And this is a dream come true for a quarterback. I'm not sure Lana Carroll's thrown the ball more than just a couple of yards across the line of scrimmage, but his athletes are doing a really, really nice job of catching the ball and making some good gains. He's nearing 50 yards passing.
Runs after the catch. This time they fake it to Lemon and send it down the field to Gregg, and Jordan Gregg makes an outstanding over-the-shoulder catch. You can't fault the defense. Dominic Taylor was there with him step for step. But the big guy, Jordan Gregg, at 6'4", simply reached up over that right shoulder and made the catch. However, there's laundry on the lawn, and I think they're going to bring this one back.
What a shame. What an absolute shame. Landon Carroll dropped that ball in exactly where it needed to be in. The big Jordan Gregg making a very graceful catch. It's a shame to lose that play.
Well, the bad news is that play is not going to count. The good news is, you know as well as I do, we're going to see more plays like that from that combination during the course of this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just a... This is the last... We've seen Hillsborough a couple times now. That's the best pass I've seen Landon Carroll make.
So that's going to be a first and 25 now from about the 45-yard line as Hillsborough with that penalty is back into their own territory. And I really like that because Lemon had done that little fake out there. They were looking to him. Now they'll come back to Harkins on the other side, and Harkins is not going anywhere as Adam Beck comes up with a big stop in the backfield. Outstanding defense there by Adam Beck to bring him down on the 47. It's going to bring up a second and very long.
Really creating a situation here where Hillsborough's going to have to really stretch their offense for a couple of plays here just to get into a position where they can do what they're used to and what they're comfortable with to try to get the first down.
Well, the Toppers thought they were deep in Gillespie territory, but instead the penalty took them back. Now they'll try at the running back position, Colton Kaiser. Kaiser will get it out over the 45, and now after the play's over, we got that yellow flag flying in the air, and that's never a good sign.
No, after that play, that's usually a unsportsmanlike of some kind.
And it's going against the Miners. Right when you have your opponent backed up in dire straits, you go and give up some of that valuable yardage, all because of lack of self-discipline. I believe that was Adam Beck, the number they called.
I believe so, and that's a shame. Adam Beck's really had a good game so far. Played very well. Just, I think, just lost his head there a little bit.
Now that takes it all the way down to the 40-yard line. It was a dead ball penalty, however, so that brings up a third and 10. So that was after the play was over from the Gillespie. Now the referee decided he wanted to play with his whistle a little bit. He beep, 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 beeps it. And we'll have a timeout for the Toppers. So with 8:16 to go till halftime, Hillsboro with a 6-0 lead. And we come back from WSMI. Goal line drive kick going to come down on about the 25-yard line. And the Miners going to bring it out on a nice run by number 34, John Berry. Berry's had some good runs here this evening, and he makes a nice run on that kickoff as he'll get it out to about the 50-yard line. So the Miners going to have outstanding field position. As we left you somewhere in the second quarter, the score was 12-0. Let's recap very quickly. With 4:13 to go in the first quarter, the Toppers on a 40-yard run by Caden Lemon took the lead 6-0. Then at the 8:05 mark of the second quarter, a 9-play 71-yard drive, Caden Lemon hooked up with Jordan Gregg for a 40-yard touchdown pass. That made it 12-0. But then the Miners came marching back late in the first half. With 17 seconds to go, they completed a 9-play 65-yard drive. Joe Carter hooked up with Devin Stroh for a 5-yard touchdown pass. Beck's point after attempt was good. That got it to halftime at 12-7, and that's where we are right now. On the first down play, the Miners take the ball from the 50 down to about the 47-yard line. So from the Hillsboro 47, it'll be 2nd and 7 for GHS. And you're up to date as well as we are. Man in motion going to get the handoff. Back the other way, trying to come this side and turn the corner. Going to be some short yardage out to about the 45-yard line there. As Taylor was the ball carrier, he'll pick up a tough 2 at the 45. Thank you, sir. And that's going to bring up a 3rd and 5. They'll wind that clock up because he didn't go out of bounds. So from the 45 of Hillsboro, 3rd and 5 for the Miners.
Gary, it was the pass from Joe Carter to Devin Stroh for the touchdown. But Dominic Taylor really, on his legs, brought the ball down the field to put them in that position.
Right, and now the handoff is going to be to Frankie Barrett. Barrett finds some running room down the sideline to the 30, to the 20, down to about the 10, and he's going to be driven out of bounds inside the 10-yard line. They'll spot it at about the 6. Frankie Barrett with an outstanding run there of 39 yards. Gives the Gillespie Miners a 1st and goal from the 8.
Frankie Barrett came out of the backfield like he was shot out of a cannon. On a toss sweep play, once he caught his right foot in the ground and turned upfield, it was nothing but grass and black and orange all the way down the field. And Frankie Barrett looked like he was going to score if it had not been for Joey Light running him down and making a tackle.
Well, the Miners ended the first half right down here in the south end zone with a touchdown, which gave them 7. Now they're looking for 6 more as they'll hand the ball off to Taylor. Taylor's going to get close to the goal line, but he's going to be brought down just short there as it looked like Liam Dugan, one of the first toppers to get in there. At the 1-yard line, it's going to be 2nd and goal for the Miners. So the Miners scored the last touchdown of the first half, Dan, to draw to win 12-7. Now they take the opening kickoff of the second half, and they'll move the ball right down the field. They started at the 50-yard line on the good run back of the kickoff, and now shall they punch it in for a touchdown? We shall see, and indeed they do, as they'll give it off to Dominic Taylor. The 6-foot, 160-pound senior just simply flies untouched off the left side into the end zone. And just like that, the Miners have taken a 13-12 lead with a point after attempt to come.
In a game of momentum, Hillsboro had all the momentum through the first quarter, just moving the ball practically at will. But from the about 2 or 3 minutes in the second quarter to this point in the third quarter, Gillespie has just stolen momentum, and they're jumping up here to a lead.
Dominic Taylor did the honors there, getting in from the last couple of yards. Now they'll go for 2 as they lead here 13-12. And this time it's going to be a keeper by Carter, and he's going to do a little shuffle pass as he ducked inside, found that he couldn't get to the end zone. So he tried the little shovel pass. It was complete to Frankie Barrett. However, there is a penalty flag as it's going to be an ineligible receiver downfield for the Miners.
Well, and you can't hardly blame him. Joey Carter was freed from the pocket, was running, and I'm sure a lineman figured he was going to try to run the ball, getting upfield, trying to make a block. And then Joey Carter, with that really quick little shuttle pass, caught us off guard. So I'm sure he caught his lineman off guard also.
Well, it was a very heads-up play indeed, but now they're going to back him up, and they'll take it to the 7. They'll try the extra point again. I don't know if they can duplicate that same play, but we shall see what the Miners have up their sleeve now, as they have a 13-12 lead over the Toppers here in the early going of the third quarter. They'll try the point after attempt, and they decided, well, let's go back and try kicking it this time. And kicking for the Miners will be Adam Beck. The ball is going to be spotted down on about the 14-15-yard line, so it'll be a 25-yard kick in essence. Line drive, plenty of height, plenty of distance, and on line it is good. So Beck's point after of the night, his second of the night, makes it a score of 14-12, Miners over Toppers. Miners kickoff coming up after these messages on WSMI. Lost them a couple times there, but still it looked like things were going their way until the final few minutes of the second quarter and the first few minutes of the third quarter.
It just, the shift of the momentum was, as the temperatures dropped here at the stadium, which it has significantly since the start of the game, and not only has the momentum on the field shifted, just in the stands, the fans of Gillespie is really on their feet and very flat over on the Hillsborough side. So it's a total momentum shift in the stadium.
One thing consistent, these kickers are kicking the ball line drive, and the Topper's going to get the ball. And who was that on the return for them? Was that Harkins?
Looks like Jonah Harkins on the return.
He'll get the ball out to about the 35-yard line.
And among others, Zane Reamer up to make the tackle for the Miners.
Looks like Ottersberg in there as well on the tackle. They'll spot the ball at the 35. 9:46 to go here in the third quarter. 14-12, Gillespie with the lead. Both teams, as we said, came into tonight's game with a 1-3 record. Neither could really afford to pick up a fourth loss in the fifth week of the season. We are past halftime of the fifth game, so we are past halfway through the regular season in football, as this is game number 5 of a 9-game regular season. And the Toppers, who's that? Root on the carry there?
It was Jonah Harkins.
Okay.
On just a real hard-fought, knee-driving 8-yard run.
Get them beginning at 8 or 9. Going to be second and short. Harkins, as they say, is playing that middle back position. He's going to get the carry again. Got his fullback leading the way as he's going to cross over the 45 out to about the 48. So Harkins and the Toppers pick up first and 10.
Jonah Harkins racking up yards very quickly, up to 43 yards. Caden Lemon still leading the Toppers, though, with 80 yards on 11 carries. Landon Carroll helping out a little bit with 9 yards. Landon Carroll threw for 47 yards on 7 of 10 passing in the first half. Cade Lemon had the one pass for 40 yards for a touchdown on the reversal.
Pritt's going to be the wide out over here, but they're going to go to Lemon around the left side. He gets a good kick out block over there by Jordan Gregg, and Lemon is not down. I thought there was a pile there, but evidently his knee didn't go down as he spun through the would-be tackler and takes the ball all the way down inside the 30-yard line to the 29. And it'll be another first and 10 for the Toppers. That could be one of the most miraculous runs of the night.
Well, I think what happened there was Caden Lemon, with that very low center of gravity, the tacklers went really low and created kind of a small pile on the ground, which Lemon kind of laid on top of, never touching, never coming down. And they just popped up, very heads up, took off running down the field again.
So you're saying he utilized the spin cycle?
Yes, yes.
Got the yardies down to the 30. They said, try it again, Kate. He will. He'll go off left end again, and he's going to have a first down. However, the referee's throwing a flag back here in the backfield.
That it's a notorious location of a holding call.
Mm-hmm. And indeed it is. Maybe that's why he was so open going around that left side. In any event, it's going to back things up. The ball was sitting on the 30 with the first and 10. The only thing we know right now is it will still be first down. The flag was sitting at the 31, but I think he's going to move it back to the 30, and they'll run that penalty off from there. He'll walk it back to the 40. 10-yard penalty makes it first and 20. So the Toppers, who have led for almost all of this game until the last couple of minutes, find themselves trailing 14-12, and they're looking to see if they can't answer with a touchdown drive of their own. Their touchdown drives came in the first quarter at the 4:13 mark and with 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. Since then, they've not been able to put any points on the board. Lemon's going to try it again around that left side. He turns the corner. He'll get back most of that mileage, but going to be another penalty thrown at the end of the play.
Gary, that's going to be called on number 61, Alex Jasper, for the Miners. Just got a little over aggressive after the play, driving a topper over the top of the pile.
So it'll be a dead ball foul. It'll be a personal foul. When they mark off the yardage, it will be a first down for the Toppers. So this is going to move the ball deeper into Gillespie territory. The official standing right now at the 35. And he's ready to start walking north. He'll pick up 5. He'll pick up 10. He'll pick up 20. Down to the 20. As he'll spot the ball at the 20-yard line. It is not an automatic first down. Okay.
Just came up a yard short for the first down. I was with you there, Gary. I thought that was going to be an automatic first down.
Second and one. Well, there's high school, there's college, there's pro.
Oh, yeah.
All three levels don't play by the same rules all the time. I can't really say I know all of them that well at any level. But in any event, second and one for the Toppers. They'll go to Lemon. He'll go around that left side. He'll cut back. Oh, a nice cut back. Looked like Beetle Bailey there as he simply got his center of gravity lower than the tacklers, drove right on through him. He'll pick up the first down, get the ball all the way down inside the 15-yard line. We'll mark it at the 15 and call it first and 10 for the Toppers.
That's going to take us into the Seavers Equipment Red Zone, powered by Seavers Equipment. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville. Seavers Equipment.
First and 10 Toppers. They trail by 2. They'll give the ball this time to the second back, Jonah Harkins. Harkins found the hole closed on the right side, so he simply bounced off, cut back, found a different route to go, and he's able to pick up about 5 down to about the 10-yard line. Call it second and 5. You like that determination when the hole is closed instead of just trying to grind, just back up, find a different opening. Dugan is in there as the up back now. And they'll go to Lemon once again. He'll follow Dugan over on the far side. Whoa!
Oh,
as he turns the corner, his face mask got spun around, and it was pretty evident, even though it was at the other end of the field and on the other side of the field, and I've got old eyes, I can still pick that one out.
Caden Lemon met some resistance and then bounced the ball back out again, which is where the face mask happened. And that was one where I don't think anybody's going to be able to question. That was pretty apparent from everywhere in the stadium.
Well, it occurred on about the 5-yard line. So when they mark off half the distance, it's going to be first and goal for the Toppers. And that ball is going to be marked on about the 3-yard line, shall we call it?
Caden Lemon has topped the 130-yard mark on 16 carries here so far for the Toppers. So having quite a game out of the backfield.
From the 2 or the 3 of Gillespie, it'll be a first and goal for the Toppers. Lemon is the tailback. Dugan is the fullback. They'll give the ball off to Lemon. Oh, he's going to be pulled down from behind as he was not able to turn the corner. And that time it was Dominic McCopin who comes up with a huge stop there. Back outside the 5-yard line, so we'll call it second and goal Toppers from the 5.
Where's my big guy Jordan Gregg at? He's lined up at left end right now.
You think they ought to run
behind
him?
Little play action pass.
They're going to run behind him as Lemon is going to be tripped up once again. The Miners doing a good job of shooting through quickly on the defense. Looks like Adam Beck was one of the first ones coming in there.
Adam Beck and Joey Carter, the quarterback on offense, came up and gave him a whack also.
They're still spotting that ball at about the 5-yard line. Now it's going to be third and goal. So the Toppers, they found their way down close to the goal line, but they're finding the real estate here in the final few yards tough to come by. They'll go back to that triple stack. As we said, Harkins is the middle back there. They'll give the ball off to Harkins, and Harkins is going to be just shy of the goal line. And I mean, he slid, and it was a matter of which hand he had the ball in, and the official was right there, and he's going to mark it at the 1-foot mark. It's going to be fourth and goal from the Toppers, and it's got to be less than a, I would say less than a foot.
It's going to be the length of the football at the very most, at the very most. Big
now,
play here
Landon,
on fourth down.
Does Landon Carroll call his own number and see if he can go right behind Tisco into the end zone? He's got three backs behind him. What's he going to do? He's going to give the ball off to Lemon, and Lemon is going to be sealed. He won't have a chance to get out of the backfield as number 24, Billy Gill, has a huge stop on the play back at the 6-yard line. What a defensive effort by the Gillespie Miners there.
Really outstanding. Benny Gill was in the backfield right off the snap on a stunt, met Caden Lemon 2 yards deep. Caden tried to spin away from him, but Gill had a tight lock on him.
Yeah, I was wondering if they might go with a quarterback sneak there. Of course, that's very difficult to get that quarterback sneak through when it's a goal line defense. They went to Lemon, and the Miners went to Lemon as well, as they'll take over on downs with the Gillespie Miners, still leading 14-12, but mark this one down at the 4:42 mark of the third quarter. The Toppers are turned away. So the Miners now, they've got a lot of field with which to work here. They've got a long ways to go. They'll give it off to Taylor, and Taylor's going to come around as he's had some nice runs, and Taylor has another good run there as he'll pick up about 9, make it a 2nd and 1.
Liam Dugan making the tackle on that play. Dominic Taylor really starting. He and Frankie Barrett both really starting to stretch out this Hilltopper defense and finding some running lanes.
Taylor, as you said, having some good runs there coming from that wingback position. Now they'll go straight up the middle, and it'll be good for a first down for the Miners, as it'll be Taylor once again on a carry, as he's going to take it out to about the 17, 27. They'll go to the 17, gain 3, 1st and 10 for the Miners. Clock running inside 4 minutes. We go in the third quarter. Miners with a 14-12 lead, and they're marching and getting out from under the shadow of their own goalpost at the north end. They are heading south. They'll give the ball off to Taylor once again. Taylor's going to turn the corner and meet quite a bit of resistance there for the Toppers. Jude DiBertolino, one of the first coming up there to make the stop. He'll call it at the 22, so we'll give him a gain of 5, call it 2nd and 5.
Really like these two running backs, Taylor and Barrett, for the Miners. Not just imposing-looking big running backs like we might see here in the South Central Conference, but long-legged, long striding, and always, always moving downhill towards the line of scrimmage.
Deceptively strong and deceptively quick as well. Handoff going to be given to Frankie Barrett. He's going to try to turn the corner over on the far side on that jet sweep, but it looked like the Toppers were there to meet him for little or no gain at all there. Looked like Dylan McCamick in on the stop over there. Going to bring up a 3rd and 4. Ball resting on about the 23-yard line of Gillespie. 3rd and 4, down to 2:22 showing on that third quarter clock. They'll send two receivers. Cravagna is out here along with Frankie Barrett. Two wide receivers over here to the near side. Two over on the far side as well. They're going to run that little bubble pass to Cravagna. Cravagna is going to spin, try to get away from one. He does, but he's finally spun down. Not until he gets out over the 30 to the 31. Needed four, picked up eight, first and 10 Miners. Once again, the little short pass with good yardage after the catch. And the Miners have picked up another first down. We head to the two-minute mark of the third quarter. 14-12, Miners with a lead, Miners with the ball.
That's the first time that Joey Carter was able to hook up with Anthony Cravagna in the game, his favorite receiver.
Now a first and 10 as Carter is going to hand it off to his fullback. And Makopet is not going to get much there. Who'd you have coming up on that tackle? Was that Baron Floyd?
Baron Floyd.
He just kind of bear hugged him and threw him to the ground.
Settled on and wrestled him down.
At the 33, we'll give him a gain of a couple. Let's call it second and eight. Clock continuing to run, 1:20 to go, third quarter. 14-12, Miners with the lead. Miners are putting together a pretty nice little drive here. Second and long. They'll go second man. They'll go to Taylor. Taylor turns a corner. Oh, a missed tackle there, but slowed him up enough. Even though Bertolino did not make the stop, he slowed him up enough so that help was able to arrive in the person of Colton Kaiser to bring him down at about the, 34? That'll be a short gain. Make it third and seven. That's one of those situations where you're not going to even get credit for the tackle, but it was an important part of the play.
Well, absolutely. He really threw Taylor off his running path, allowing the defense to recover.
Taylor and Stroh will be the two wide receivers way over on the other side. We're on the hash mark here. Now we're going to go with a give and go, and that pass is going to be out of bounds. Oh, the cameraman could not let go of his camera and therefore could not make the one-hand catch, but a good effort, and he gets a round of applause. And it'll be, what shall we say, punt time?
It was. I think a very popular play for the Miners is that little bubble screen that they run to Anthony Cravagna. Mm-hmm. Cravagna stepped back, showed the hands like he was going to make, and the receiver stepped up like he was going to block, and then that's when they ran that deep pass. So that's kind of a combination pass play.
A little old down, out, and down.
They have off that bubble screen.
Around them. But the Topper defense was there. I don't remember. Is this our first punt of the night?
I believe it is.
I do not remember. Of course, there's a lot of things I do not remember. But I do not remember a punt tonight. Oh,
ooh.
Jordan Gregg, that's an imposing figure coming in on you, isn't it?
Boy.
They have nobody back to return it, and what an outstanding punt. That's going to go all the way down inside the 10-yard line to the 9-yard line, and the Toppers will get the ball after a good defensive stand, but they'll get it deep in their own end zone or their own end of the field.
A reversal of fortunes. Jordan Gregg was just a foot or so from blocking that punt and giving Hillsboro excellent field position, changing all the way down to the having the ball down at the 9-yard line.
I was busy watching the ball, didn't look back. That was Adam Beck. You know the guy that kicks the line, drives through the uprights for the extra points? Well, he just drained an outstanding punt there all the way down to the 9-yard line. As they say, he flipped the field. So now the Toppers on offense, and they will throw the swing pass. And this is one that I'm sure when he thinks about it, Caden Lemon will wish he didn't catch it because he went down to both knees to catch the ball for a one-yard loss. Not a good idea.
Now, that's when you just want to let skip and bounce and call an incomplete pass, and we'll take it second down and 10.
That's going to be the final play of the third quarter. After three quarters of play, it is Gillespie 14, Hillsboro 12, back with the fourth quarter action after these messages on WSMI.
Thanks to Networks One Sports, we are able to bring you lots of high school sports, starting with tomorrow morning at 7:30, Spotlight on Sports on 106.1. Then we've got the WSMI Sports Saturday Show starting at 9:03. On FM 106.1. Cardinal Baseball will come on live at 11:10 on both 1540 and 106.9. the next broadcast, and I want to call the Illinois game on center, but that's a Friday night game. But our next broadcast will be next week with the Auburn at North Mac game starting at 7 o'clock, and delayed broadcast, Gary, you and I will have the Hillsboro at Pena game.
Little double reverse action here for the Toppers as we start the fourth quarter action. And Caden Lemon ran to the left or to the right side, turned the corner, did the little hesitation step, then the little loop back to the middle. You talk about shifting gears. He put it in reverse for two steps and then reloaded and was able to take it all the way up near midfield. But, whoa, Nelly, what happened?
We got a flag on the field. On the opposite side, and this is one that drives coaches crazy. On the opposite side of where the play happened.
It had nothing to do with the play.
Oh, and it's a personal foul.
It was a personal foul against the Toppers, and that'll move them back. And as you were saying, our games are broadcast, of course, on FM 106.1. Also being streamed, if you want to go to WSMIRadio.com, you can hear them online there. Because of the great people at Network One Sports. And, of course, right now, the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, they might not like what they are seeing because what they're seeing is an outstanding run that should have taken them up near midfield. Because of a penalty, it's going to be negated. It'll still be second down, but they're going to move the ball all the way back inside the 10. It looks like they're going to move the ball back to about the 5-yard line. So that's going to bring up a second and 15 from the 4. And it is still, they're showing, are they showing that the penalty was after the play? They are showing second down over there. Now they're showing third down and still about 13.
I think it's Liam Dugan. That was stopped right at the line of scrimmage.
Out of the 5, so it's going to bring up third and still long for the Toppers. So the Miners with a 14-12 lead, they're looking to see if they can't pin the Toppers right here near their own goal line and make them punt. Landon Carroll went back to pass. Then he decided he'll pull it down and run. He'll get the ball out near the 10-yard line and be driven out of bounds over there. Like Taylor was coming up on the stop, as well as Adam Beck once again. Mark the ball at the 10. We'll give him a gain of about 5, but that's still going to be 4th and 8 and should be punting situation for the Toppers.
Adam Beck, Mr. Do-It-All for the Miners, punting the ball, kicking the ball, making tackles. A little less heralded from his guard position, but I've caught him several times, really springing some blocks for the Miners.
Landon Carroll is the quarterback, and he is the punter. He simply drops back a few yards and gets a foot into it. It comes down right at the midfield stripe. Looks like the Miners are going to let it roll. It'll take a good Hillsboro roll inside the 40-yard line down to about the 37. So Gillespie will get the ball on their own 37-yard line, 1st and 10. As they will send their offense back out on the field, they have a 14-12 lead. We'll take a quick break. Be back after these messages on WSMI. Beautiful football weather indeed. Can't ask for much better than this. Just a little bit of a breeze coming out of the north as the Miners will scrimmage from their own 37-yard line. It'll be a 1st and 10, and they'll run to the far side, get a nice gain there, out to about the 45-yard line. Is that Taylor again?
Dominic Taylor on the carry, coming off the top of the crown of the field, running downhill towards the sideline, picking up about 7 on the play.
Taylor just keeps picking them up, 5, 6, 7 at a time. What's he up to now?
55 yards.
Just been very consistent. No breakaway huge runs, but some very consistent runs, and usually around that 5 to 6 yards. Brings up a 2nd and 7. The ball resting on the 45. He'll go into the eye. There goes that quarterback as Joe Carter says, quick snap, let's go. He just loaded up right behind his center, Bryce Higginbotham, and he gets a first down into Topper territory all the way down at the 42.
Really showing some speed there. By the time that anybody on the Hilltopper defense knew where he was 10 yards up the field. And luckily, Caden Lemon from his free safety position made a great tackle.
He's got a 180-pound junior there as his center, and he did an outstanding job of saying, I'll move this nose guy out of the way, and you just run behind me and make some good yardage. Now they'll go back to the deep back and give it to Frankie Barrett. Barrett was tackled, but he refused to go down at about the 37-yard line. He simply spun off that tackle, gets inside the 35, down to about the 34-yard line. Picked up, let's give him 8. We'll call it second and short. And that's one thing the Miners have been finding a lot of, second and short. And, of course, that opens up the playbook.
Really does. And credit Frankie Barrett and Dominic Taylor for giving them those great first down runs.
And so Anthony Cravagna will be the wideout way over to the left side wide. There'll be a tight slot in there, and that will be Frankie Barrett. And two backs in the backfield. They'll give it to Taylor. Oh, Taylor gets a nice block there from his lead back and turns the corner and gets the ball down to about the 30-yard line. Needed 2, picked up 4, first and 10, Miners.
I think that's one, though, when they look at that on film, if Dominic Taylor cuts inside that block and then cuts it back to the outside, there might have been a lot more running room instead of kicking it outside the block where the block was going.
Down to the 8-10 mark here in the fourth quarter. Miners are nursing a 2-point lead, and right now they're wanting to milk that clock a little bit as well. 14-12, Gillespie with the lead, Gillespie with the ball. GHS heading north here in the fourth quarter. Tight slot over here with a split end. They'll do that old toss sweep, giving the ball off to John Berry. Berry finds them going outside, and he spins off the would-be tackler. Joey Leip had him and spun him around, but he refused to go down, and Leip can't believe that he got away from that tackle. Gets the ball down to about the 25-yard line. So it'll be a gain of 5, second and 5, an outstanding run.
It really was just a great effort. Like you said, he bounced off a couple of blocks. Tackles, Joey Leip seemed to have him tied up and spun him around, but Barry just kept his feet moving and ended up picking up a couple more yards on the play.
Coming into the lineup, Billy Gill in the backfield as well here. As Carter says, let's call my own number. Joe makes a cut on the safety and goes into the end zone as he left Liam Dukin in his, no, I'm sorry, Caden Lemon. In his track, he simply ran right at him. One juke step to the right, cut to the left, onto the end zone for Joe Carter. Outstanding run for Carter. Good for 25 yards. Good for a minor touchdown. Wow. That was impressive.
Really was. Once the guys in black and orange, black and orange, got their traction and really started pedaling down this field. They haven't looked back since. And this game, since being down 12-0 in the first quarter, have just run away with this game.
Well, Joe Carter now has run a touchdown. He has passed a touchdown. The point after attempt this time is no good. And so with the point after attempt no good, Gillespie lead is 20-12. We have 7:42 to go here in the fourth quarter. Miners with a lead, back with the Miners kickoff after these messages on WSMI. Making Gillespie kickoff again or taking it at the 35. They choose to take it at the 35. So trailing now 20-12. It's an 8-point deficit, but Dan, it's still a 1-score deficit.
That missed extra point by Adam Beck after the last touchdown really put Hillsborough in a position where they could still tie this game up with a touchdown and a 2-point conversion.
Jordan Gregg on the little bubble screen, he just runs over the Miner defenders, just plowed through them, and they bounced off, kept coming back at him, but they didn't get him down until he gets the ball all the way down to the Gillespie 45-yard line. So that'll be a gain of, 20 yards for Mr. Gronk?
20 yards. And did you call it a little bubble screen? I'm not sure if Jordan Gregg does anything little on the football field. But you're right. A very unassuming bubble screen turned into a 20-yard play very quickly.
And the Miners had the play called. I mean, they had the defense there. They just couldn't bring him down. I thought for a second then it might be intercepted, but it was not. Now they'll go back to the other side to Caden Lemon, and Lemon will take the ball out. No, I'm sorry. That was Pruitt on the carry there, right?
Was that Liam Dugan?
Oh, Dugan. Okay.
Liam Dugan, the fullback, who generally carries the between the guards duties, was on a sweep for the Hilltoppers, so something a little bit different.
We'll give him a gain of six. I saw Lemon over there, but he was the outside guy coming in to help on the block. They're going to go once again to the big guy in the middle, and tough yardage there as they'll get down to about the 35-yard line, and that was Liam Dugan to the 35. Give him four. Call it third and maybe one. So the Toppers here, of course, well, they're going to say, give him the first down. They're going to mark it at the 35. Needed four, picked up four. First and 10. Now we'll set the chains and wind that clock, and away we go. 6:25 and counting in the fourth quarter. Once again, they'll go to the big guy, Liam Dugan, and the 6'1", 215-pound senior. He just burrows his way down inside the 30, down to about the 27-yard line. Give him a gain of eight, call it second and two.
A very interesting game, Gary, where these guys just keep stepping up. You know, whether it was, you know, first Lemon and now Liam Dugan, Jonah Hawkins had his moments for the Toppers. Dominic Taylor, Frankie Barrett, they just keep stepping up and showing themselves.
Dugan's not going to get the ball. This time it's going to go to Harkins. Dugan will be his lead blocker. He'll get the ball down inside the 25, and it'll be good enough for a Topper first down. They'll mark this one at the, 23-yard line? So from the 23, the Toppers, they're trying to march in and find a score. With a two-point conversion, they could tie this one up as they trail here 20-12 with 5:30 to go here in the fourth quarter. Landon Carroll with one back behind him. Oh, that time he hands off, and there were three or four Miners who stood him up. But Dugan simply refused to go down, and he's able to make some good yardage there. Had a good lead block by Finn Tisco, as he's able to make something out of nothing, getting the ball down to about the, what do they call, the 22? Looked like it was going to be a stop on the play for about a loss of three. Instead, he'll pick up a gain of one. Second and nine as we approach the five-minute mark of the fourth quarter. From the 22, it'll be that bubble pass to Jordan Gregg. Gregg eludes one tackler. Now he gets wrapped up by one, by two, by three, by four. I'll tell you what, the Gillespie Miners just had a team meeting on the back of Jordan Gregg, and he was not going down. Inside the 20, it goes to about the 18-yard line for a gain of four, going to bring up a third and five. So the Toppers, they are in the red zone, and they're knock, knock, knocking on the door.
In the red zone, that's the Seavers Equipment red zone, powered by Seavers Equipment. Mow like a pro with X-Mark. Score big at Seavers. SeaversEquipment.com.
Third and five. Oh, a high snap. They get the ball off to Dugan on the pitch, but Dugan's not going to be able to turn the corner. That Billy Gill coming up from the outside.
Billy
over there.
Gill making another defensive play.
Billy Gill, the defensive man of the hour for the Miners. 5'9", 188-pound junior. Billy Gill makes the stop, and that's going to bring up a fourth and about seven as he drives him all the way back to the 20-yard line. So from the 20-yard line, it'll be fourth and seven for the Toppers. Big play. Want to make sure you get the right call. Good idea to call a timeout. That's what the Toppers do here. As they take a break, we will too. You're listening to WSMI. Here in the press box, 4 minutes showing on the fourth quarter clock. The scoreboard reads Gillespie 20, Hillsboro 12. The Hilltoppers with a fourth and seven from the 20-yard line. Coach Newkirk, what's your play call?
I like something has something to do with Jordan Gregg here. You know, this is a game that could have huge we make it or don't make it implications. He and Caden Lemon, those two guys on this side.
And Lemon's going to go in motion the other way, which leaves Gregg over here all by himself. Jump ball. Missed it once and missed it twice in the end zone. Taylor on the coverage as Jordan Gregg went up, got his hands on the ball, tipped it up in the air, thought he was going to get it on the second time, but it goes in and out of his hands, and he sits there squatting on the ground, very disappointed that he didn't make the big catch. But it wasn't because of lack of effort.
No, absolutely not. Did a great job of holding his position. Landon Carroll threw kind of a jump ball up to his big tight end. Dominic Taylor was over there, but Jordan held his ground. He created some position. Just could not quite haul the ball in, and he stuck with it. It bounced off, and he turned out away from it, trying to catch it, and just couldn't pull it in.
Well, as you said, the right play call, at least in our estimation, as will be a Gillespie first and 10 with 3:53 to go. They have an 8-point lead. They have the ball. They want to milk some of that clock off as Baron Floyd comes up quickly, makes a tackle on Frankie Barrett as Barrett doesn't even get back to the line of scrimmage. That'll make it a second and 12 with the ball now resting on about the 18-yard line. Miners wanting to work that clock as best they can. They have three timeouts left, and they really don't want to use them. The Toppers have two, so they can stop the clock a couple of times. It's running down to 3:20 to go now, as it'll be a second and 12 for GHS. Joe Carter under center. He's going to toss it back to his tailback, Frankie Barrett. Barrett's going to turn the corner. Most importantly, Barrett's going to stay inbounds. And now it's going to be a timeout called by Hillsboro as the ball is going to be placed on about the 23-yard line. So it's going to be a gain of 5, going to bring up a third and about 7 for the Miners. But we've got a timeout on the field, 3 minutes showing on this fourth quarter clock. Gillespie 20, Hillsboro 12. Back after these messages on WSMI. Gained, however, by staying in bounds, the Miners forced the Toppers to use one of those valuable timeouts. And now with 3:05 to go, Hillsboro has only one timeout left.
In a football game as close as this, you've got two opponents playing each other, Gary. But a third opponent in the end rears its head in the form of the clock. Hillsboro right now technically is playing against the Miners, but it's the clock that poses the greatest opponent right now. If they cannot figure out a way to get this ball back, time is going to run out on them.
Big play here. What would you call?
You know what? I'm going to keep the clock running and make them use the timeout. I'm going to hand it off to one of my speedy backs.
I take Carter up the middle.
I like that. Well, on the ground.
All right, now as they look at the defense and get an idea of what they are presenting, Jake Bilbrook says, we'll take a timeout and talk things over and see what play we might like to call. And will we listen to that old guy up there in the press box, and will we run the quarterback sneak, or will we come up with a real play? We shall see when we come back. You're listening to WSMI. Both teams, they will go to Dominic McCulpin, and I think he has turned the corner on the right side. The Gillespie coaching staff gives him the first down. Now the men in the black and white stripes, I believe they're going to give him the first down as well. Huge play. Go to the big fullback, the 5'9", 200-pound senior, and he picks up the first down. Chains are moved. Clock is wound up again.
I think Dominic just said, Coach, I got this. I got this. I'm going to hang on to the ball. I won't fumble. I'll get you the first down.
Well, he needed 7, picked up 9 from the 32. It's a first and 10. Clock is running with 2:40 to go. Now it is important for the Miners to manage the clock, and those play clocks in the corners of the end zone are not working tonight. They'll go toss sweep to Taylor, and he's going to be tripped up in the backfield. We've got a timeout Hillsboro, as a loss on the play is going to bring up a second and 13. The ball's all the way back inside the 30 at about the, well, we'll call it the 30, and call it second and a long 12 or a short 13. Timeout on the field because the Toppers needed to stop the clock. They cannot wait. They've got to see if they can stop it and get the ball back. the Miners, they like the fact that they get a little bit of extra time here in order to rest the troops and get that offensive line. And it looked like the running back that time, Dominic McCopet, was a little shaken up. So it gives him time to see how he can respond. While they take a break, we will too. You're listening to WSMI. Second down and 13 for the Miners. 2 minutes, 21 seconds away from win number two on the season. Topper defense trying desperately to get that ball back as the Miners will call that quarterback number again. And Carter is going to get the ball out near the 40-yard line. He's going to pick up about 8 yards. Let's mark it down at the 39. And it's going to bring up a third and four for the Miners. And once again, that play has been there whenever they've needed it tonight. And, of course, you got to credit the big guy, Bryce Higginbotham, as the center who fires off and creates the opening for his quarterback. A couple of guards in there doing a pretty good job as well. As you got Ryan Root over there on the left side and Adam Beck on the right side. Whoa, turning the corner, Dominic Makapet has his feet go out from under him, but he has the presence of mind to get down before he gets out of bounds. He'll be spotted down at about the 39-yard line, so no gain on the play. Going to bring up a fourth and four, but more importantly, by staying in bounds, continues to let that clock roll. It's down inside 1:15 and counting. Toppers, they're out of timeouts. They can't stop it. Now with a fourth down situation, do you run it all the way down, call a timeout, or do you take the five-yard penalty?
I think probably it depends on what your intention is here. Are you going to run a play? Obviously, you want to only try the three. If you're going to punt the ball, let it run down, take the 5 yards.
Well, they decided to take the penalty, or take the timeout instead of the penalty.
Adam Beck almost 70-yard punt, or was it 70-yard punt earlier?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll give him 5 more yards, let him boom one.
Yeah, well, I think with the timeout, they realize they run the clock and they don't anticipate needing that timeout. They've still got one left in their pocket. But you were talking about his punting. How about some statistics on our running backs tonight?
Well, the running backs for Gillespie, Dominic Makepit with 20 yards. Our quarterback, Joey Carter, with 63 yards. Frankie Barrett with 65. Dominic Taylor with 60. So nobody with an outstanding game, combined, well over 200 yards for the game for the Miners in rushing.
And defensively, you can't pick on any one guy. You can't key on any one guy, as we've seen happen over and over. How about for Hillsboro? Who's been some rushers for them tonight?
Well, Caden Lemon has had an outstanding game at 131 yards on 18 carries. Jonah Harkins supporting with 52 yards. Liam Dugan with 19. And the quarterback, Landon Carroll, has had 15 as well. So both teams had a lot of success tonight on the ground running the ball.
Yes, indeed. And as you said, Lemon with some outstanding runs. He was able to turn the corner several times tonight. Here we go with a fourth down situation for the Miners. And the Miners are going to give it to their quarterback. Ooh. And he is going to be slammed. Slammed down at about the 42-yard line.
Wow.
And so Carter is not going to get the first down, and the Toppers are going to get the ball back, and they're going to get it in Gillespie territory at the Gillespie 41-yard line. And are you a little surprised?
I am. I'm a little surprised. Coach Billbrook rolling the dice here a little bit on fourth down. They've had a lot of success with the quarterback sneak, and I think he went back to Joe Carter again. But Caden Lemon came up from his free safety position and smacked him, dropping him for no gain on the play.
Would you say that perhaps the Toppers were keying on the quarterback that time?
No doubt.
Whether he went left or right, he was going to get hit.
Well, and Coach Billbrook gave him the benefit of a timeout to kind of prep him for it and talk to him about having that play ready. So there's one where a couple things might have bit Coach Billbrook in the butt, where calling the timeout, prepping them and let them say, hey, remember that quarterback sneak? They're probably going to run that again.
There's some discussion over there on the far side as the officials have stopped. And they're looking to see what they're going to do with the chains. And I'm not sure whether they think that he got the first down. It was a fourth and four from the, I had it from the 39.
Yeah, fourth and four, and the ball didn't cross the line of scrimmage.
This is a bit confusing, I'll have to admit.
Okay, there we go. Now they're getting the chains going the right direction in favor of the Toppers.
One thing that's not confusing is getting the scores all right in the morning.
Right. Spotlight on Sports coming on at 7:30. We're going to see all the South Central Conference as well as the area schools and how they did along with the Cardinal scores. And they're going to be able to talk about the U of I game, football game tonight. It's going to be on WSMI. Following that at 9:03, the Sports Saturday Show, also on FM 106.1.
I have no idea what's going on now.
We're lining up as it's fourth play. Was there a penalty?
I never saw any flags. All I know is the officials were all discussing amongst themselves. And now they're going to bring out the chains to see. Well, I clearly had it marked as a fourth and four from the 39. And he did not gain 4 yards.
Oh, boy, I tell you what, we may see Aaron Duff, and it's going to be well short. It's going to be
okay.
Well short. So a lot to do about nothing.
Wow. What is it? They say all's well that ends well, and they ended up getting the correct call.
They got it right. That's the important thing.
I didn't see whether there was anything to discuss there, but
I don't know if that's something where Coach Bilbrook, buying a little bit of time, really demanded a measurement
on the play. Well, definitely with that play, momentum went back over to Hillsboro's side. They'll have a first and 10 with the Toppers on the Gillespie 41 as Carroll goes back to pass. Now he's going to bring it down and go down the sideline himself, and he'll go out of bounds as he gets down inside the 30-yard line. Looks like they're going to mark it at about the 27. And so at the 27-yard line, going to be a good gain there for the Toppers. It should be enough for a first down as we'll have a stoppage in play. The clock is stopped, of course, because one of the first down and two because the runner went out of bounds. So it will be a first and 10. Looks like the ball's going to be at about the Gillespie 27. As we have an injured player down on the field. Now, here's what you call sportsmanship. We have a Gillespie player down, and we have a Hillsboro trainer sprinting over here to make sure that he is okay.
That player that's up is Florian Safari. He's up and off the field, and looks like he's doing okay.
A little groggy as he
a little
walks
groggy,
over here.
Making his way to the bench.
I thought I heard him say, "Where's my Gatorade?" Let's hope that's what he was saying.
He just gave
motioned
away
to the crowd.
Gave
hey,
away
I'm
to
okay.
Mom. Mom, I'm all right.
All right.
Good. That's
warm
good.
Supper. I'll be home
good.
In a minute. All right. They're going to put a replacement in for him, and that will be Bryce Higginbotham. So, an offensive lineman going to come in and play some defense here, as it is a first and 10 with 46 seconds to go. 20-12, Toppers trail. We're seeing if they can get the tying touchdown. Now they're going to try to throw the ball back. No, Lemon found there was no receiver there as the Miners did a good job. So Lemon then takes it himself, tucks it in, and runs down inside the 20, down to the 15. He's out of bounds as he goes out of bounds. A flag flies.
I think what they're going to do, they're going to Jonah Harkins, they're going to catch on and a holding call right over near the sideline. And he was making a really good block, but as the Gillespie player tried to peel off and go for the tackle, he just hung on a little bit too tight to the jersey.
Okay, so the penalty flag is thrown at the what, 20-yard line?
Looks like at the 20.
Okay, so from the 20-yard line, they'll walk it off against the Toppers.
It's going to come back about to the
30.
Just beyond the original line of scrimmage.
Okay.
They're going to lose about 3 yards in the play after the penalty from the original line of scrimmage.
So it's going to be a first and 13 then for the Toppers from the Gillespie 30-yard line. 36 seconds still showing on the clock, and the clock has stopped as the run ended up out of bounds. So the clock will not start until the ball is snapped. Third first and 13 from the 36. Carroll back, looking deep. Over on the sideline. Oh, tightrope catch. Nope. Keaton Pruitt tried to keep his feet in bounds, but could not quite make connections. That'll bring up a second and 13, but that only ran off about 7 seconds. So, from the Gillespie 30-yard line now, second and 13. Keaton Pruitt was doing his best to keep his tippy toes in bounds, but he couldn't quite grab hold of that one. Second and 12. What comes, or, as Gillespie would say, second and an eternity time-wise.
What comes to mind is Jordan Gregg on that awesome effort, double miss, thinking, gosh, do I get another chance at this?
And the one that was dropped down at the other end. Now he'll get another try as they're going to go deep. I think they're going too deep, as that time the Miners had the best shot out of it, as it goes out of bounds across the pole vault runway. Incomplete. That'll bring up a third and 13.
That was Jordan Gregg streaking down the field, followed closely by both. It looked like Joey Carter.
Taylor was there too, I believe.
And Dominic Taylor, two really great athletes.
They had him pegged.
Yeah, I like that matchup with those two on Jordan Gregg.
So that brings up now a third and 13. Ball still resting on the left hash mark of the Gillespie 30-yard line. Dugan is the only back in the backfield to protect his quarterback. He'll settle in, give him protection, throws over the middle to Gregg. It's intercepted! Intercepted! And the Gillespie Miners have intercepted the ball, and they should take home a victory. I believe that was Joe Carter.
Yes, indeed.
Joe Carter playing center field. The pass was overthrown to Gregg, and Carter doing what he does best, playing that free safety. Not only did he make the interception, but then as soon as he started running, he said, no, I want to get down so I can take a knee and we can take a victory.
Yeah, the competitiveness in him said, let's go. And then thought, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? Get on the ground.
Well,
second base slide in for a win.
We kind of expected coming into this week that we were going to see just this kind of game right down to the end, and it has not disappointed at all. An outstanding game, and now with 13.6 seconds to go, looking over here to the near side is Devin Stroh, wondering, where's my 11th player? They'll get another lineman to come in.
Well, Safari had left the game earlier, and it was the right tackle that they were getting back in there.
And Higginbotham came in for him. Well, he couldn't be the replacement on offense. And so now the Miners will take a knee, and the final 12 seconds will run off. And this one will go in the book as a Gillespie Miner victory, 20-12 over the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Outstanding game indeed. And Dan Newkirk, quickly summarize for us if you would.
Well, we're going to give the first quarter of the game to the Hilltoppers. Really was moving the ball at will, but from into the second quarter, Gillespie took over momentum of the game, carried it through the second half, and even though it showed 20-12 on the scoreboard, really the momentum and was dominated by the Miners, and just an outstanding win for Coach Bellbrook and his squad.
And, of course, that allows Gillespie to move to 2-3. Hillsboro now with a difficult task. They're setting at 1-4. And, of course, it doesn't get any easier for the Toppers. Next week they will be going to Pena. As far as the Gillespie Miners, who do they have on hand next week?
I believe Staunton. Are they traveling to Staunton next week?
Week 6, Gillespie is at Litchfield.
At Litchfield.
So could be a victory there for them.
So they're going to get a little bit of momentum, because following that game, they have Staunton, which is a big Route 4 rivalry. So two games where they should pick up some momentum going to that big game.
So first half, Caden Lemon with a 40-yard touchdown run. Caden Lemon with a 40-yard touchdown pass to Jordan Gregg. 12-0, that was the lead for the Toppers. That's where we went to going into the end of the first half. However, right before halftime with 17 seconds to go, Gillespie got the momentum. They got on the board. Joe Carter to Devin Stroh, 5-yard touchdown pass. Brock's extra point made it 12-7 at halftime. Gillespie owned the second half in scoring, that is. They had Dominic Taylor with a 2-yard touchdown run to give the Miners a 14-12 lead. and then a Joe Carter 25-yard touchdown run with 7:42 to go in the game. 20-12 is our final score. The Gillespie Miners take the win over the Hillsboro Hilltoppers in a typical South Central Conference game. For Dan Newkirk, this is Gary Boker. At this time, we would like to take the opportunity to thank all of our sponsors who make these high school broadcasts possible. Of course, thank you to you fans for listening in. Special thanks goes back to the studio to Jen Graham for producing tonight's game. For Dan Newkirk, Gary Boker, one final time, our final score is Gillespie 20, Hillsboro 12. Gary Boker saying so long from the gridiron.